From the sports betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, it's time for the show you can't afford to miss. The number one weekly football preview, Wanna Bet. Get ready for valuable information, analysis, winning picks, and betting strategies. Your hosts, SEC gridiron guru Kip Kiefer, and award-winning betting expert, writer, and sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer. Let's go. Here's everything you need to win big. Wanna Bet.
Welcome, everybody. Another week of Wanna Bet is on the air. Coming to you from the Superbook at Westgate Las Vegas, Kip Kiefer, Case Kiefer, director producer Clayton Kiefer. The family affair rolls on as we talk about all things college football and really from a betting standpoint, because after all, this show is Wanna Bet. Case, we've covered a lot of territory in our series so far. I want to talk about some other betting options today. We talked last week about straight bets on the overall game, the first half, the second half. But you had teased this segment a little bit back 5 or 6 weeks ago. I want to talk about parlays and teasers, which are interesting betting options. I know your opinion of parlays was affected quite a bit by your experience of actually getting to spend some time here observing what goes on behind the scenes at the Superbook.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell anyone how to spend their money, and I know everyone loves betting parlays. They're kind of the lifeblood of the sports bettor. People love having that action. So if you want to do that, you know, go right ahead, have fun. I would just say don't expect to win any money, because over the long term, parlays are not going to be profitable. That's just the bottom line. You're not getting paid out anywhere close to true odds, and the odds just go more and more in the sports book the more sides that you plug on to one another. There are certain ways where you can try to work around that, to try to diminish the house edge a little bit. I think one way that's become increasingly popular that I think is a little bit better than just parlaying point spreads is if you parlay the money lines of the games, a lot of sides you like, you're getting paid out a lot closer to true odds if it's just on odds on teams to win outright. It's still not something I utilize a lot. I'd say most serious bettors, it's not something they utilize a lot. But, you know, if it's recreational and your thing in here is, you know, to be fun, if it's like a lottery ticket to you, by all means, go for it, bet parlays. But, I can just tell you, they're not sustainable long term. You can have a good season, you can have a good couple weeks, but over the long term, if you're betting a lot of parlays, you're going to lose money. That's just it's just a fact.
Well, I mean, I guess a three-team parlay is a 6-to-1 proposition, and to pick three winners is a daunting task. I mean, how do you respond to what you hear a lot of people say? Shoot, picking one game correctly is hard enough. Picking three is really difficult. But I'm also amazed by the people who week after week step up and bet 6, 7, 8 game parlays. I mean, to me, that borders on the nearly impossible.
Yeah, exactly. And the smaller you keep it, the better. If you have a three-team parlay, a 6-to-1 is still, you know, going to create about, I think, in the neighborhood of a 20% theoretical hold percentage for the house, which is still relatively high, but that is a lot lower than if you're doing 6 or 7. So that's another way to kind of cut down, to try to make it more sustainable, try to do fewer games. I mean, 2 would be the best, but obviously that's the smallest. You don't have a parlay other than that. You know, another way around betting parlays that sometimes works, but it's just hard now because sportsbooks have really wised up to the fact, but correlated parlays, if you like the favorite, you go with the over, because usually there's going to be more points when the favorite covers. If you like the underdog, you go with the under. There were some cases way back in the day where this was just a gold mine before sportsbooks really wised up to the fact. You could take a team who's like a 49-point favorite, say Alabama's a 49-point favorite. If you take the underdog and there's a total of 56 in the game, you take the underdog to hit the under, it basically means nothing. You correlate those, you get the multiplication. So that was a big edge back in the day. You're not going to find a lot of sports books that let you do that correlation anymore, but it is something to look at. There are some that will, and that's another thing. Another way you can approach parlays that's going to make it, give you an expected value as assumed of just punting off money to the sports book.
So now that we've established the parlays maybe are a little bit of a shot in the dark, for a lack of a better term, let's talk about a bet that I don't think a lot of people really understand the dynamics of, and I'm curious to hear if you think they are a good value or a more fool's gold, and that is the teaser. What's your take on teasers, and give a brief explanation on how they work?
Yeah, so a teaser, usually you can tie multiple teams together, 6, 7, or even 10 points, and you get a different type of payout based on moving the point spread that many. I certainly lean towards them being more fool's gold, especially in college football where more points are scored. Just over the long term, mathematically, they're not going to be profitable. That being said, again, I understand sports betting is entertainment for a lot of people. If it's something you like, go for it. There are ways, just like with parlays and teasers, where you can kind of cut down the house's edge, do some smart things. Now, famously, there is a very profitable long-term teaser option in the NFL. For many years, sportsbooks were paying minus 110 if you did a two-team six-point teaser, and you could take the lines that week that moved through both the 3 and the 7, the two most key numbers in football where the most games end. If you can still find a sportsbook that pays you minus 110 and you can move two sides through the 3 and the 7, you are going to make money long-term. Most sportsbooks now have moved even higher. I'd say minus 130 and up. It's no longer an edge. If you can find a minus 120, it's still a small edge. That's a big one, but that's the biggest thing with teasers that I think you need to pay attention to if you want to play them. You can cut down and give yourself a better chance if you make sure the numbers you're moving through are key numbers. So stick to point spreads, especially in college football. Totals are just way too big. And moving 6 or 7 points is not going to make that much difference in total. But, you know, if you have a team that's like a 2.5-point favorite, you can move it 6 points to 8.5. That's really a big deal because you're going through the 3 and the 7, through the 6, through the 4, other numbers that they land on a lot. Again, long term, I don't think you're going to make money with it, but that's the way you can give yourself a little bit better chance. I guess going the opposite side, let's see say a team is, you know, getting that would have been a +2.5 in that example. Let's say a team is an 8.5-point favorite. If you take the 6 off of that, getting them to -2.5, you're moving through all the key numbers. That's the thing to look for teasers. You want to move through numbers where games land on the total a lot. That's going to give you a better chance. And another rule of thumb, never tease through the 0. 0 means nothing in football. Obviously, you can't end a game in a tie. 1 is also a pretty dead number. It's very rare, although, I mean, it does happen the games land on 1. So the most important thing with teasers is you want to move through those numbers where you see a lot of final scores landing.
Has there ever been a wager more aptly named than teaser? It's a perfect description of what the bet is, because how many games are recorded? I know there's one set of teasers where you can actually apply 13 points to the line. How many? That's like a multi 8 or 10 game situation.
Yeah, I mean, you can basically get any combination you want to, I feel, nowadays, and what they're going to pay you out. I would say that the best thing to do, it's kind of just similar to parlays. If you just stick to the smaller, it's going to be better. You know, I understand people like these cards where you can tease a whole lot together, and that's fine. Again, you just have to look at it as a lottery ticket. You have to know that 99% or more of the time, if you're tying 13 teams together, it's not going to hit. Maybe you do hit that one point. I would just say that doesn't really, at that point, it's not really the art of gambling or handicapping. You just clearly are playing a game of chance, which is fine. It's no different than a slot machine, but just know what you're getting into if you're going to play those.
Yeah, because it's got to be so tempting to a lot of players that they look at a slate of games, and I know a more standard number is 9, but if you've got a team that's a 14-point underdog, you tack 9 more on, now you're getting 23, it's like, I can't lose this. But it's seemingly the more teams you have involved, the more chances you have to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough thing to do, not a thing I would recommend, not a thing I do. I don't know if I've ever teased a college football game. I will do some of those 3 and 7 point teasers in the NFL if you can move through the 3 and the 7. But one thing I can promise you is they will not be in my best bets coming up. But stay tuned to You Want to Bet, and I'll give you some of my best plays for this week.
One thing we can recommend are Case Kiefer's weekly picks. They're coming up next here on Wanna Bet.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back for another edition of my Wanna Bet best bets, coming off another winning week. Recording a little bit early this week because of the holidays and earlier deadlines, but gonna win. So still have one pending, but gonna win either way. 4-2, hoping to bump that up to 5-2. But included in that last week record was a kind of disappointing 2-2 college day. Really thought had a chance at the elusive sweep there in the fourth quarter of the afternoon, the second slate of games. Miami had cut the Clemson lead to 16 in the fourth quarter. Thought maybe they'd hold on, and then Minnesota, as Iowa's opponents so often do, had them outgained by something like 150 yards. I think Mo Ibrahim, their star running back, had like 235 yards. They were driving for what I thought would be the game-winning drive, but didn't work out. Iowa sneaks away again, so we'll have to settle with a 2-2. To bring our season record to 20, 19, and 2. These are, I got 3 picks again this week, but
these three are really just first reactions. Like I said, doing it a little bit earlier, I implore you to check LasVegasSun.com. Anytime this week, I'll have more thorough breakdowns after I've run some numbers on all these games. But three that stood out right from the beginning, let's start in the Bluegrass State. I like Louisville plus 3.5 at Kentucky. This kind of surprised me, this number. Maybe Kentucky pushes them around in the trenches, just runs the ball, runs the clock, and pulls away that way. But I think every other area of this game, Louisville kind of has an advantage. Their defense has gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. Far more explosive on offense. So I like Louisville here. Surprised it's over the 3. Maybe it settles at about 3, where it might not necessarily be a play for me, but still probably pretty safe. I like the Cardinals. I think maybe this is an overreaction to how well Kentucky played Georgia last week. Played them a lot tougher than the market expected. And maybe even going back 2 weeks ago when Clemson kind of had their way with Louisville in a game where the Cardinals were expected to be more competitive. But Clemson has its flaws. But up front, I think they're a level above Kentucky. I'm not necessarily sure that the Wildcats will be able to duplicate that. Next, let's go to another rivalry game, the Civil War up in Oregon. And this is one I've been looking at all year. I wish the number came in a little bit higher, but I'm still going to go with Oregon State plus 3.5. I'm just a big fan of this Beavers team, a really experienced group. A bunch of fifth-year guys that came back for their last year wanting to accomplish some of their goals, check some things off the list, and they've certainly done that. They've had a remarkable year. You probably wouldn't be listening to this if you bet on them every game for the last 2 years, because they've been a covering machine, and there's just a trustworthy component there with me and Coach Jonathan Smith. I think he always has a really smart plan. And I think that'll be the case again here. I think they'll shorten the game on offense, and I think defensively they'll have a plan for Bo Nix and the Ducks, who, you know, gutsy effort last week to come back and beat Oregon to put themselves in the driver's seat for the Pac-12 championship. But, you know, Bo Nix still not 100%, and this is such a big game in Corvallis, always a tough place to win. So this is another one where anything over a field goal, I'm going to have to go with the home underdog, Oregon State, plus 3.5. Last game, this would certainly be one that didn't stand out as much upon looking, but I'm disappointed with my record and want to bet for college, but I think of how bad would it be if we didn't have the AAC. I feel like every week I've been hitting the American Athletic Conference game I've been throwing in. This is the last full slate of college football of the year, of course, so I was determined to get one AAC game in here, and the one I landed on is I'm going to go with SMU laying 4 against Memphis. This could be a shootout. A lot of points means less value in those points on the point spread. So usually in higher scoring games, you want to go with the favorite. And here's one where I think there's just a little more stability on SMU. They've gotten blown out, including last week against Tulane. They haven't always been consistent this year, but I think they know what they've got going forward. And that says more than at Memphis right now, where Ryan Silverfield is on the hot seat under some pressure. Seems like there's some issues in the locker room that he has his camp of players that want him, might be most of them, but I don't know. I just always don't really like these situations at the end of the year, and on paper, I like SMU better anyway, so I think that 4 is not too high of an asking price, so I'll go with SMU minus 4 to go along with Louisville plus 3.5 and Oregon State plus 3.5. On to the NFL, where it's been a little bit better than college here on the show this year. 19-14-1, the season record. And once again, I've got all underdogs, 4 underdogs. Let's get them. I feel like it's tradition. I always start with the Falcons game on WannaBet. And this week, we are going back to being on the Falcons. I just think it's time to sell high on Washington. Taylor Heinicke has been impressive, but man, so many dropped interceptions. I feel like they've had a lot of turnover luck. It's going to change one of these weeks. I really hope this could reach up to 4, but my first reaction is 3.5 for the Falcons. These teams are closer than they appear. A few weeks ago, this probably would have been a pick. I'm going to go with plus 3.5 in Atlanta. Next, let's go with the Tennessee Titans plus 1.5 hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. I actually think this should be flipped, and the Titans should maybe be a slight favorite coming off Thursday Night Football. It doesn't always mean everything to have those 3 extra day to prepare, but this is one instance where I think it actually does mean something. It should have some effect on the point spread. The Titans were so beaten up ahead of beating the Packers on Thursday. You saw some market movement towards the Packers because of that. Some of those guys did end up playing, including Jeffrey Simmons, but they were still out. Other guys on the defensive line, I know Ben Jones at center didn't play. You got to think a lot of those guys that probably would have been in line to play a full week and now have an extra time to recover will be back. So I'm going to go with Tennessee plus 1.5. I'm still skeptical of
Cincinnati. I like their receivers, but Ja'Marr Chase, I don't think he's coming back this week. And otherwise, I'm just not that high on this team. So Tennessee plus 1.5. Speaking of Green Bay, this is a number I expect to crash, but as of now, you can get some plus 7.5 on Green Bay against Philadelphia, and I just think that's too much. This is another buy low, sell high type thing that I like to talk about so much. 2 weeks ago, the Packers beat the Cowboys, have that crazy comeback. They also played the Bills close, and all of a sudden, you know, people are talking, oh, maybe this will be a playoff run. You saw them get support against the Titans, like I said. Then they lose the Titans game, and all of a sudden, no, they're right back to being terrible and having no chance. That's just, you know, too overblown to me. I think this will be a close game. I think Philadelphia wins, but I wouldn't have them favored by anything more than probably 5.5 points. This is a pretty large edge for the NFL. Green Bay plus 7.5. Still fine to take at 7 as well. And the last game I'll go here in Las... Well, this game isn't in Las Vegas, but involving the local Las Vegas team, Las Vegas at Seattle. The Raiders, you can get a plus 4.5 right now. I think this number belongs at 3.5, maybe even a juice 3 to me. I'm still not totally sold on the Seahawks. I think the Raiders offense has shown some real flashes these last few weeks, despite overall having a lot of close losses. The defense is getting a little bit better. I think from a talent perspective, they are still a cut above Seattle, despite their records. So plus 4.5, too much for me. Las Vegas plus 4.5, Green Bay plus 7.5, Tennessee plus 1.5, and Atlanta plus 3.5. That'll do it for the NFL and my best bets. Stay tuned for Kip's takes on the SEC next.
Hey, everybody, it's Kip Kiefer. You know, on all of our shows, we're in the business of picking winners. But selecting the champions of real estate, particularly downtown, well, that's easy. It's Lita D'Imperio and Carrie Smith, the dream team at Realty South. 205-937-2232 is the phone number to call if you want to get in the game of fabulous downtown living.
Hey, everybody. Kip Kiefer with you now on Wanna Bet, the SEC selections for this week. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. I hope everyone has a joyous holiday week. And, of course, Thanksgiving means football, and we've got a lot of football to talk about. It's one of the best weeks of the year, rivalry week, where all of the matchups pretty much are games of between teams that have a lot of history and a lot of the traditions of the sport. And I think we're going to try to take advantage of that this week, counting on some of those rivalries boiling over into some real competitive games that maybe the line doesn't suggest that will be the case. The theme this week is taking underdogs. We're going to be all over taking the points and hopefully giving thanks for getting all of those points at the end of the weekend session. So let's start in the SEC. I'm going to go to an unlikely selection, considering what a disastrous season it's been in College Station. I'm taking Texas A&M plus 10 against LSU. They're going to have all the incentive in the world playing at home. The West Division champion LSU Tigers, which nobody predicted, are going to play the one win in the SEC, A&M Aggies. And they didn't really even deserve that win. They were outplayed by Arkansas and were very fortunate to come away with their only SEC win of the year. They're getting 10 points in this game, and this is their bowl game. This is their season salvager. If they could somehow knock off Brian Kelly and LSU, that would take a lot of the sting out of what has been the most disappointing season by any team. Remember, they started the season ranked number 6 in the country. So I'm taking Texas A&M to keep this one close, plus the 10. Also, the Auburn Tigers and the Iron Bowl against Alabama. Auburn and Cadillac Williams have been high charge in recent weeks, playing really good football. We thought they might slip up last week, hosting Western Kentucky. It was close, 17-17 at the half, until Auburn finished strongly and won and covered that game. They go to Tuscaloosa now. They've got nothing to lose. I look for them to once again play sky high in this game. And for Alabama, it's a really difficult spot because I'm sure they're going to be motivated by the fact that it's the Iron Bowl, but the fact that they are basically eliminated from playoff contention, I don't know how up in the inspired category that Alabama is going to be. They're giving 22 to Auburn. That's an awful lot anytime in any Iron Bowl. This game seems to be competitive no matter what the records. I got to take 22 points and the Auburn Tigers. Let's move on to some East Division games. South Carolina, where did that come from last week? They laid 63 on Tennessee and knocked the Volunteers right out of the box. The Volunteers are basically a sequel to a Cheech and Chong movie now. Their playoff hopes up in smoke as they were destroyed by the Gamecocks, who, where has this Spencer Rattler been? He had 440 yards passing and 6 touchdowns against Tennessee. If they can carry over any of that momentum going to Clemson, and the Tigers are tough. Dabo Swinney only one loss this year. They're getting 14. They're on a real high and feeling good about themselves. I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight because they haven't beaten Clemson in a number of years, so they've got plenty of incentive coming into this contest. Take South Carolina plus the 14. Also, the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles. This game is being played in Tallahassee. Mike Norvell has done a fine job at Florida State, kind of getting the Seminoles back on track this year. But they're giving Florida 9.5 in the biggest game of the year for both teams. That's an awful lot in a rivalry game. The best player on the field is Florida's quarterback, Anthony Richardson. As he goes, so goes the Gators. And I have to think he is going to be really ready to go in this game on Saturday. So I'm taking Florida plus the 9.5 against Florida State. I still think the SEC vastly superior to the ACC, which also was an influence in my previous pick with South Carolina. And speaking of SEC-ACC matchups, the traditional Thanksgiving weekend battle between the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech and the Georgia Bulldogs will take place in Athens, Georgia. Georgia, a monstrous 34.5-point favorite. They're the number one team in the country. Georgia Tech has not been very impressive this year. They fired their coach mid-season. But look at last week. Georgia Tech went on the road to North Carolina and upset the Tar Heels of Shocker and knocked probably North Carolina out of the ACC championship game. So this team is playing a lot better, and they're getting almost 5 touchdowns in Athens. I don't think the game will be close, but I do think Georgia Tech can cover a 34.5-point spread. So we're going to go with the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech and all those Thanksgiving points. So to review, we like Texas A&M and Auburn from the West Division in their games against Alabama and LSU, respectively. We're taking the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets against Georgia, Florida Gators over Florida State, and South Carolina plus 14 against Clemson. Hopefully, all of those points will pay off for you to have a joyous holiday weekend. We're going to be with you throughout the college football playoffs, all the bowl games, and see if we can't just give you winner after winner in this upcoming holiday season. Again, thank you so much for watching Wanna Bet, and we are delighted that you are on board, and hopefully you'll have a great Thanksgiving weekend. See you next week right here on Wanna Bet.